The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
This survey, this roomy survey, so-called. So Megan is with me now in studio, our prospective renter, to talk us through the questionnaire that she received before being allowed to even view the property. Is that right, Megan?
Yeah, that's correct. So I've been looking for somewhere to live for the last probably 2 months now, and doing it like many people do, on Daft. And, you know, I've gone to a few of the viewings. None have been successful. And then in the last few days, I actually got this survey. So essentially, it's a personality survey that I had to fill out with very strange questions, kind of ranging from, you know, my nationality to the last book I read, how I deal with conflict, very invasive questions in order to secure that viewing.
Yeah, they are bizarre. So it starts with gender, which mm-hmm. is possibly problematic even as a question in and of itself, a straightforward one like that. How did you describe yourself in three words out of curiosity?
See, every
putting you on the spot now.
Every answer I was giving, it just felt so you're afraid of what to say, but I was saying laid back, tidy, kind, you know.
Oh, yeah. that's the point. We'll get into some of the other questions here in a moment, but even just that point, like, it's all fake.
Isn't it
like you're giving the answers that you think are going to get you a viewing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, if the last book you read was Mein Kampf, and I'm not accusing you of that or anything, you're hardly going to put it down on a survey.
Well, this is, you know, it's a bit humorous, but the person in question is a Swiftie, and I'm saying that my favourite artist is Harry Styles, how does that go down? Like, it's things like that that you could lose a viewing over.
Your profession, they ask you your nationality as mm-hmm. well. I suspect there may be kind of legal implications to asking that question. As you say, your favourite music, the last book you read, your favourite book. I see myself as A, an introvert, B, an extrovert, or C, an ambivert. Now, kind of by process of elimination, you can work it out what it means, but I'd never heard the word ambivert before. Yeah. And lots of questions focused around how to maintain relationships, Megan, in the house, and kind of chores and tidying up. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm not new to this. I've lived in student accommodation for 3 years. Obviously, I've graduated now. I was in DCU. So it's not as if I haven't dealt with things in the past, but the questions were really just, you know, how I was willing to split up the chores. Was I willing to let people use my, you know, items? It was very, it was very bizarre, really, to be honest. Even how long would I leave my dishes before I'm willing to clean them up? So you can imagine things like that. You're definitely not.
No, it's kind of an IQ test, really. Yeah. I mean, if you're asked how long you're willing to leave your dish before you clean up, you say about a week or two.
Yeah.
I mean, you're failing an IQ test, not a kind of a roomy questionnaire. Stay with us, Megan, because Peter Dooley is here as well from the Dublin Renters Union. Peter, is this kind of par for the course these days?
Good afternoon, Kieran. I think it's absolutely just, it shows a case in point how far the housing crisis has gone. These questionnaires are coming on board. So many people are under pressure to get accommodation that you feel like you have to be the perfect fit to suit the landlord's requirements to get a home. And this is all down to systemic government policies that's creating huge crises, for instance, for people struggling to get a home. A huge amount of evictions, huge amount of pressure on the rental accommodation. Not enough public housing being built for people who require it. And it's just a case in point that people like Megan are being put under serious, serious pressure and serious stress trying to get accommodation. It has clear breaches, I would argue, of the Equal Status Act in terms of discrimination. Asking such personal, intrusive questions are absolutely just preposterous.
Yeah, so the Equal Status Act, for what it's worth, there's 9 different grounds, and people will be familiar with them. More often than not, they get cited kind of in employment cases, but, you know, marital status, family status, sexual orientation, religious, age, disability, membership of the travelling community. The two that kind of stand out in the context of these are the gender ground. You can't discriminate or differentiate based on gender. And race. It's called the race ground, but race, for what it's worth, before people text in and point out, race and nationality are different things. Race includes colour, nationality, ethnic or national origins. So kind of two of the first four questions possibly run foul of that piece of legislation.
Well, without doubt, and it's discriminatory in nature. But I think what's important with this as well is that there's remedies open, and like renters shouldn't be scared, because there's remedies open through the Workplace Relations Commission under the Equal Status Act, and cases should be brought forward on that basis. For many, many years, people, for instance, who are in poverty or excluded cannot access homes as well. And a lot of people then, from that point of view, would be, in terms of HAP and these and so forth as well, social supports, are being discriminated. And they've taken remedies, for instance, through the house, through the Workplace Relations Commission. But at the same time, it just shows you how far the system has gone, how unregulated it is, and how this lack of enforcement of the rental sector as a whole in Ireland when cases like this happen. Like, even at more extreme levels, for instance, in terms of people in vulnerable circumstances or people who are very marginalised, we've seen issues of sex for rent, for instance. We've seen legislation being brought forward by various parties around this as well. So, like, you know, where once you open the can of worms with this unregulated Wild West, I would argue, of a rental sector, this is what it leads to. And it's all down to, for me, government policies that has led to this situation for years and years.
One wonders, though, whether it falls foul of the Equal Status Act if it's not actually a landlord or an estate agent who's asking for this. Because often, and I don't know what the situation is, Megan, with yourself, but often when people go to look at a property, there's already people in it, you know, so it's maybe somebody else in the property who's a tenant, who's just trying to kind of decide who they want to get the extra room. And it becomes a bit more problematic then, doesn't it, in terms of enforcement?
That is a big issue regarding licensees, and that's a very important point you raised, Kieran, because like licensees don't have any rights under legislation. So, for instance, you could be renting a room off a homeowner, and now we're coming into the time of the year where a lot of people are looking for accommodation. Students are coming to Dublin and various urban centres, and now they're doing big campaigns to rent a room where people can earn, I think, up to 14,000 per year without paying tax as well. So there's no rights for people in those situations. And if you're in a very, you know, vulnerable situation, you're open to be exploited. And it is a very exploitative relationship when you have that power and control. And then if you don't have any remedies or supports through the necessary structures or institutions to protect people and enforcement of that legislation, that is critically important. You know, all you want is a property regulated with enforced enforcement of that legislation in the rented market, and then people will feel secure in terms of going for their home because, you know, being asked a myriad of questions and a personality test, it's almost laughable. And it feels sort of to me when you look at it, it's like something you look at if you're looking at reality TV with Big Brother or something. All this sort of nonsense, like, which is actually very dangerous.
Cathy, slightly tongue-in-cheek, says, I love the survey idea. If I'd given it to himself before we got married, I'd be a lot happier now. Megan, You can help put us maybe in the mind of the renter. I rented for many, many years, and I'm lucky not to be in that situation anymore. But I do remember, I mean, when faced with something like this, the reality is you don't tend to look at a survey and think, I'm going to make a complaint, I'm going to make an issue here, I'm going to enforce my rights. You fill it out in order to get a viewing. And then if you don't get a viewing, you go on to the next. What you want is a roof over your head.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of my first experience of it because, as I said, I've been living in student accommodation for the past 3 years. So at this stage, I'm working in Dublin. I need somewhere to rent now, essentially. My lease ends this week. And, you know, I am in a very privileged position that I can live with my family at home, and it isn't, you know, it's about an hour and a half of a commute, so it's doable. It's not feasible, but it's, you know, but yeah, you fill it out. I opened the survey, I laughed at it, and then I filled it out. And that's just exactly the point you're trying to make. You're not going to go and, you know, complain about something when you really are in a position where there isn't a lot of options.
And Peter, that's the issue then that exists right across the rental system when it comes to a whole host of different things, be it the standards of the house, be it things kind of breaking down or no longer working in the house, is that tenants, because there's that kind of paucity of supply out there, they think, I don't want to make a fuss here. The main focus is keeping the roof over my head, or in Megan's case, getting the roof over my head. I'm not going to kick up a stink.
Well, absolutely.
Like, I'm not going to. And by say kicking up a stink, maybe that's a bit unfair. I'm not going to enforce my rights, actually, would be a better way of describing it.
Well, absolutely. There is recourse there under the current legislation. But for me, it's not enforced. There's a lot of, parts of it, such as standard of maintenance of the property. And I know, for instance, a friend of mine who's in his early 60s at this stage, he's renting now for the second time. He rented a place for over 15 years. The landlord never put a cent into the home. You know, he had a hole in the roof at one stage where he had water coming into his bedroom, and he went out and repaired it himself because he was afraid he was going to get evicted on the premise of contacting his landlord. Now he's facing another eviction because the landlord is claiming to move the relative in into the new home he's living in for only the last 2 years. Like, there's so many issues going on in the Irish rental market. There's local authorities that aren't enforcing the proper standard of properties. There's loads of issues, a myriad of issues where tenants are in a very vulnerable situation in the vast majority of cases. And the fact is, it's all, as I said, my original point, it all comes down to the government policies that favour the landlords, a lot of the people that are property owners versus the people that don't have property. And it's causing a huge crisis. For instance, people of Meghan's generation forced into immigration. We've seen a myriad of people being forced into immigration, such as the, you know, doctors, nurses, teachers and so forth as well. We're struggling to get teachers all around the country. You know, people should be able to have a dignified existence in their own country. And I think that's vitally important in a country with extreme amounts of wealth.
Well, what do you say to Brian in Dublin, who says, if you're advertising a job and you've got loads of applicants, you can't interview everybody. You've got to create a shortlist. And that's the same process if you're letting out the room in the house. If there's too many applicants and you only have so many time for viewings, you have to find some way of shortlisting them.
Well, you can meet a person. If you talk to a person and meet them, I think that's quite simple. I think people can meet them. I think going through all this intrusive questions, as I said, there are clear breaches of the Equal Status Act, that there is recourse for people to take on board. But unfortunately, people don't because they're afraid and they're happy to get somewhere. So when they move in somewhere, they're happy enough to not to rock the boat and stay there because of the vulnerability and because of the situation of the rental market and so many people who are being evicted and forced into homelessness at the sharpest end.
Well, listen, if you've been in a situation like this, do get in touch. Maybe it's not necessarily a questionnaire, maybe something else. Maybe you've had to prove something else in order to just get a viewing, which is the situation Megan finds herself in. 087 1400 106. Megan, thanks for sharing the story with us. We wish you well in the house hunt.
Thank you.
And Peter Dooley as well from the Dublin Renters Union. Like I say, that number is 087 1400 106. I want to return to a story that we covered a little bit earlier in the show. So Megan was here. Megan is a prospective renter and she shared with us details of a survey, a questionnaire that she had to fill out before she was even allowed to view the property. So the questions were bizarre. I think there's no other way to describe them. I mean, some of them were just around tidiness and cleanliness and whether you're somebody who likes to share chores or sign up to a timetable of chores and what have you. But there was questions in there about her favourite book. What was the last book she had read? Her favourite music. There was a question, obviously, about gender. There was a question about nationality, questions about income. Questions that, had they been asked by a landlord or somebody else, one would suspect they might fly in the face of legislation in this country. Anyway, I'll tell you who to know more about this is Dr. Rory Hearn. He's an assistant professor of social policy at Maynooth University and the author of GAFS as well. Rory, were you surprised to hear these questions that Megan was being asked, you know, about gender and profession and nationality?
Yeah, it's really, it's not surprising, Kieran, straight up, where I'm hearing about this, you know, renters for a number of years, and it's hard to think now, we're probably 10 years into this current rental crisis, have been contacting me and also, you know, the likes of Threshold highlighting that tenants have been, and potential tenants, been put in really vulnerable situations and been asked all these questions pre-viewing. Like, this isn't like in terms of getting a tenancy. This is actually...
This is just to be allowed to view, physically view the property.
To be allowed to view the property. And, you know, we've also heard, you know, the Irish Examiner did really good reporting on this, the Sex for Rent, you know, scandal and the, you know, what tenants... And of course, it's down to vulnerability in that tenants are... There's so few properties to rent available that people really feel they'll essentially, you know, been pushed into do whatever to try and get somewhere to rent, somewhere to live. But it's really important to point out that, you know, the Data Protection Commissioner, who you might think is would be involved with housing, actually made a ruling on this because this is gathering information, people's personal information. And there's a whole issue around GDPR, which everyone has had to get very familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, even GDPR within your own family, can you text, hey, will you share my brother's number? Well, I don't know, I need now GDPR on that. But, you know, it's you know, it's there to protect people's personal information. But what they found was, and they've made a finding because they were there was complaints made to them, that the practice of seeking information such as references, tax details, financial details, proof of identity, from numerous potential tenants in advance of making a specific tenancy offer would generally not be consistent with the obligation under the GDPR to collect only relevant personal data. That's very significant.
Okay.
And so, and I think people haven't, are probably not aware of this. And the data commissioner has actually been relatively active getting on to estate agents, because that's obviously where they can have some influence, you know, in terms of influencing the big estate agents. And some estate agents have changed their practice as a result. So that's quite significant. The other area that's really important for renters, potential tenants to understand, and you would have covered in the past, is this issue of discrimination.
Yeah.
And it is discriminatory under the Equal Status Act to refuse to let a property to someone under the various grounds, you know, racial, ethnic, sexual orientation, gender, and also includes actually, it's one of the only socioeconomic grounds of discrimination, which is a source of income being social welfare or housing assistance payments. So you can't discriminate against someone. But if you're asking for financial details before someone even gets to view the property, that, you know, or their nationality or their gender.
Yes.
Well, the question is, you know, why are you doing that other than to have a screening process that, you know, essentially is going to rule people out on the basis of these potential characteristics that, as I said, is discriminatory. And unfortunately, we haven't seen any action in this area. We have seen action from the WRC, the Workplace Relations Commission, where discrimination in relation to housing is adjudicated on.
Yeah.
We have heard in relation to, for example, discrimination on HAP and recipients of HAP.
Yes.
And landlords used to even put in their advertisement.
Yeah, that HAP need not apply.
Not apply, or social welfare recipients need not apply. They can't do that anymore. But my own research with HAP recipients found that they were finding other ways to do it.
Yeah, and that's the issue, isn't it? These kind of the other ways, or even the loopholes, the legal loopholes that may exist. So, you know, as you say, three of the first six questions in this questionnaire possibly fall foul of the Equal Status Act, where you're asked about your gender, your nationality and income. And then there's the GDPR issues as well, that the whole questionnaire runs into. There's bizarre questions in here, if people are just tuning in, about whether people see themselves as introvert, extrovert or ambivert, which was a new one to me.
I haven't heard of an ambivert. What's an ambivert?
An ambivert is you're somewhere in between. You're just...
Neither an introvert nor an extrovert. Okay.
Neither being underwhelmed or overwhelmed. You're merely whelmed. Anyway, that's what an ambivert is.
But it's mad questions, like, to be asking someone. And again...
I know.
You know, and the question is then, they're holding on to this information.
Yes.
Why are they holding it on to?
Well, it's some of the questions, it's like a personality test, really, as well. You know, some of it about how they deal with conflict in the home and resolution and preferences about kind of cleanliness and organisation. But the other issue I was going to bring up, though, is, and this is kind of to do with the loopholes point, is sometimes, and this has been the feedback on the text line as we talked about it during the day, is that it's not necessarily the landlord or the estate agent asking the question. And this is where they run into difficulties in enforcement. It's one of the other tenants. Somebody already has a lease, they're in the property, a room has become available, and they're the ones asking the questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I rented for many years, as sure yourself did, you know, that back in the Celtic Tiger, the heyday, when, you know, that was the last time we had sort of this scale of rental crisis and housing crisis. Actually, it's much, much worse now. Even when you look back then, you know, and the house prices are higher and rents are higher and significantly higher. But, you know, we did at that point when I was renting kind of 2002 to 2009, 10, well, before the crash happened. But I remember, you know, going to an estate agent, you know, you give your details. And even at that point, you know, the question was, well, why am I given these details before I actually even get a tenancy? This is literally for the estate agent is vetting you, but they're not offering you a property. So it was, I remember thinking about it at the time, and that's very questionable. But the issue then, of course, is house shares. And someone, I put up a post about this the other day on the wonderful platform that is X, and got the replies. But some of them were like, oh, well, sure, well, of course you do these sort of tests, you know, and these sort of questions, because people are sharing with each other and, you know, this is reasonable. But actually, it's not. And that's the point, that it's not reasonable. And But it does also show the difficulty. And because another person commented and said, "Oh, but sure, you know, it's all sharing with friends anyway." And you go, "Well, it's not like that anymore. People aren't sharing with friends.
Oh no, lots of people listening to this are sharing with complete strangers.
Complete strangers, and they're not just sharing for a year or 2 years. They are going, you know, many years. And so I can understand in some sense why some people would be doing this as a house share. But generally in those situations, you would sit down with someone and you would chat to them and you would do all that.
Kind of sound them out in the traditional human way.
Exactly, exactly. And this was a point that the Data Protection Commissioner made, which was that there's a difference. And also under the rental regulations that there's different, you can ask for different information when you're actually offering the tenancy as to when you're offering the viewing as such. And what has happened now is it's shifted from, in the past when you're being offered the tenancy, you would have to provide PPS, you know, your bank account.
And that's understandable.
And that's understandable. That's reasonable. But that's when you've been offered. Yeah. The point is, when you're asked all this beforehand, then, you know, that's the problem with this, essentially, because then you're open to discrimination. And we know that, of course, and some people say, well, sure, it's a landlord's right to rent it to whoever. Well, unfortunately, it's not exactly as straightforward as that, because we do have discrimination going on.
What's your favourite book?
And what's Gaffs, the
last,
of course.
What's the last book you read? But I know, but I'm
Gaffs,
just
mean, of course. Yeah,
of course it's Gaffs by Dr. Rory Hearn. But I mean, it's just, you know, I always have to laugh at when kind of sports people or anybody gives these pen picks and they have to pick their favourite book, and it's never probably their favourite book. Some Jack Reacher novel is their favourite book. So they'll pick something kind of War and Peace. How many people are answering that?
That's the thing. Exactly, but I can imagine
it's all nonsense
them
as well, because nobody
out.
Answers. No, nobody does this truthfully.
No,
you're
going
to give. You're going to click whichever answer you think is most likely to get you a viewing. So again, despite setting aside all the legality issues, it's a kind of a pointless exercise.
That level of detail is just crazy. You know, looking for. But I was saying they probably find out whoever's offering the property and look up their Instagram page and see what answers they want to hear.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
And put them down, or whatever they're at their TikTok. But I do think there's a very serious side to this, which is what I mentioned earlier, which is the sex to rent thing. And
yeah,
you know that. Tenants, and we're hearing it from students now again, they're in the midst of out there trying to find property. They are absolutely desperate. And, you know, we're going to see not just students, but teachers again when it comes to hearing it already. Teachers find it impossible to find accommodation. We're hearing schools can't find teachers. You know, there's very real consequences of the housing crisis. But in particular, like, we don't have a properly regulated private rental sector. And we landlords will give out saying, oh, you know, it's all more regulation. But if you go to most of the other European countries, like Ireland is a wild west in comparison for tenants' protections in comparison to what landlords have to do, because it's accepted that it is, you know, a tenant's home and tenants have rights, whereas we don't have that history here. We have a much longer history of it, but not in recent decades.
I guess then the final point then is just around enforcement, because often that's the burden falls on the tenant or the potential tenant in this space to be the one to make complaints. And often, I mean, that's an unfair burden to carry, because they're unlikely to do it. And as you say, you've been in this position and I've been in this position where you're looking to rent. If you're met with this survey, you're going to fill it out. You're going to fill it out because you want to get the viewing, because you want to find somewhere to live. You're unlikely to look at it and go, I'm going to report them. I'm going to go to the relevant authority and I'm going to make an issue of this.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult because, and I did, as I mentioned, a specific research project for the Irish Human Rights Commission, looking at and working with tenants who were being discriminated around the HAP grounds. And that was the research it found. I asked them, like, you know, how many of them reported? Very few. Why did they not report it? They were terrified. And they said, we just need a home. You know, we just want to get a home. And that's the reality. And I think that's where the issue of the burden on the individual is very problematic in this. And again, it's you know, I was kind of discussed with this with someone earlier, the idea that the Data Protection Commissioner is the one kind of adjudicating on really housing issues and rental regulations is not really appropriate. Like, it's good that it's happening, but really it should be the RTB, the Residential Tenancies Board, should be, you know, properly enforcing. And we need to, I think, find additional regulations that make this practice just not possible.
Rory, thanks for coming into us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.